Hey, hey, my fellow dream chasers, it's Princess Fizz here. Welcome to another episode of I Have a Dream Show, bringing you multimillionaires from around the world to hear their unique journeys to success, great business wisdom, free mentoring and inspiration. Now, if you're looking to boost your online presence as a small business owner and stand out from the noise, you have to check out my free 10-day course on how to create an amazing web TV show or podcast for any industry. Go to becomeamediapreneur.com and get instant access to the course, and I'll get you ready for launch within 10 days. If you're looking for a great way to build a strong network and land some high-paying customers, I recommend you check out LinkedIn training course at ihaveadreamshow.com/LinkedIn training. If you've seen my web TV shows and love my makeup, check out Moonstruck 3D Fiber Lashes, which is a best-selling product by Unique, at ihaveadreamshow.com/beauty. And if you prefer to watch the video shows, then you can go to ihaveadreamshow.com/shows, where there's a library of all the I Have a Dream shows to date. And don't forget to become a free member at the ihaveadreamshow.com website for access to free business and marketing trainings and other resources that will help you grow your business. And you'll get added to the newsletter straight to your inbox so you don't miss another show. So now take out your notepads and enjoy the show. Hi, welcome to the I Have a Dream Show. I'm your host, Princess Fizz. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in on a Monday. I hope you have had a fantastic weekend, a great start to the week coming to the Dream Show. If you're new here, what I do is I bring on inspiring entrepreneurs, highly successful, high-profile entrepreneurs from around the world. And what they do is they share their story of success with you. So if you're looking to be inspired or just find out what online marketing or network marketing is all about, or just here to just pick up some strategies to apply for your own business, then you're in the right place. But today's show, I just want to say the actual I Have a Dream Show is sponsored by Linked University. So if you're looking to get some quality leads for your business professionally, it's a great, great course to actually check out. You can actually check the link below after the show. But wow, I've got an amazing guest today. I'm just so excited. I've been following my guest today for a while, and I've learned so much about him. He really, really inspires me as an entrepreneur, and just kind of following his success, just knowing what's possible to achieve at such a young age, it is just really, really, really motivating to follow him. So please welcome ex-FBI agent, actually, to internet millionaire, Chris Jones, coming in live from America. Thank you so much, Chris, for joining the show today.
You're welcome. Pleasure to be here. Glad to be here.
Absolutely brilliant, Chris. I've been I'm trying to get you onto the show for quite a while. I know you're super busy, so we'll try and keep it under the hour, as we've kind of discussed. But I'm really interested to know so much about you, Chris. I mean, not many people kind of see your journey. You know, they see your success today, but they don't really know what's been going on in the background. I mean, it's a journey that you embark on. So can I just kind of just open up a little bit about your history in a way? Like, what was your environment like as a child? I mean, have you been brought up in an entrepreneur environment?
You know, honestly, if I look back, I can actually say that I have.
Okay.
You know, my parents divorced when I was young, and my dad had worked in the airline industry for many, many years, and I had traveled around the world with him through that airline occupation, and so I ended up going to Asia quite a bit, and Europe, and really all over at a young age. And he also owned a Thai restaurant. My stepfamily is Thai, and so he got into owning the restaurant business, and he opened one of the first Thai restaurants in the Midwest. And actually, back in the day when Clinton was in office, they actually got the number one Thai restaurant in the country, wow, the Ribbon Award, from Bill Clinton. So this was before, like, sushi came to America and all these things. So I saw his entrepreneurship, but I learned one thing. I didn't want to be in the restaurant business. I didn't want that, because I saw him just like this slave to this job, and it took away from family time, and it took away from time that I had with him. And so even though I could respect that, now that I look back at what he did, I didn't want that life. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I guess I can say that.
That usually happens, actually, Chris. You know, when you're brought up in a family business environment, people tend to either join it or rebel. They want to, like, no way am I doing that. I want to do something myself. So how did you, I mean, were you pressured at all to stay with the family business and be kind of the generation that takes it over? Or did you actually feel like, were you encouraged to do your own thing?
Yeah, my sister kind of took that side of things. She took over the family business. I actually had a dream of being an athlete. I wanted to be a professional martial artist and a kickboxer. And so after high school, I left to Asia and I moved to Southeast Asia, to Thailand, actually, and studied Muay Thai. That was kind of my dream. After high school, I just said, hey, I don't have any bills. I don't have any really thing attached here. I want to move there and be as good as I possibly can because that's where the best of the best are. And so I moved there. This was back in 1999, 2000. And so I trained there and competed professionally in Thailand. And, you know, that's kind of the path that I took. And, you know, it was a big step, obviously.
No, so why didn't you carry that on then? I mean, if that's something that you embarked on, what was it that you didn't kind of carry your career on with?
Well, you know, when I was there, I was young, you know, and you're a lot more nimble when you're young. And, you know, I got there and I love it. I still love the sport to this day. And I just realized that getting kicked in the head a thousand times wasn't something I wanted to do when I was 50 years old, you know?
Right.
And there just wasn't a lot of money. There wasn't really a stable life with that. You know, I love that as a hobby and even as a professional, but this was before, like, the UFC has gotten to where it is and mixed martial arts has come around. You know, the only really path that I could have taken is come back to the United States and taught, open to school and so forth. But even, like, if I look back, say, had I done that, the economic times would have really crushed me because those are the types of things that people cut out of their budget. So, you know, I actually applied for the University of Minnesota for college when I was in Thailand fighting because I knew I had to go to college, get a job so I could, you know, survive. And so I took that regular path, you know, early on right after Thailand.
Right, excellent. So at this point, I just want to kind of highlight a couple of factors. I mean, that awareness of knowing where your career is going, do you think it was your involvement in your family business that kind of increased your awareness in a way that what can happen, where things can go, where things can lead to? So you're more aware of what decisions to make?
Yeah, I think I was aware, but I also was, there was fear too, because I saw how my dad, my family was such a, like a slave to that business, you know, the business owned him. And so I knew that that was even a chance, but I wanted to go to the U of M. I was very good at what I did, in martial arts. So I wanted to kind of take that discipline and bring it into criminal justice. I wanted to get into the FBI. I wanted to get into that industry. And I knew the only way was to have a four-year degree. And so, you know, I said, okay, I got to take this step. This is the responsible thing to do, you know.
Right. Excellent, excellent. Okay, well, moving on. So what happened after that then, Chris? I mean, so you made certain decisions. I mean, how did you get a job or anything? Have you experienced having a job working for someone else?
Yeah, so after Thailand, I moved back, went to the University of Minnesota, studied there for 2.5 years. Right after 9/11, I got a job offer from Homeland Security. I said, okay, this was my foot in the door with the government, and so I took it. I ended up working for them for just over 2 years.
Right.
And it was because of that experience that, and I excelled very well there, but I just realized the government wasn't where I fit in. It just wasn't me, you know.
Right.
I wanted to keep going up, and it was really limiting me. So I didn't actually get into the FBI. I was very close to actually getting and going through the academy, but I took a 90-degree turn, and I actually moved to Miami, Florida, and I said I wanted to be successful, but I didn't know how.
Right.
You know, I was educated, but I said, well, if I can work with people that are successful and have high net worths, then I can perhaps learn what they do. So I went and worked at a big financial firm in Boca Raton, Florida, and started working with people's portfolios and working with their money and kind of learning about them. You know, that was kind of my way into the financial world, learning about money and learning about that type of mindset. And that's when I actually read Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill that same year. Changed my mindset of how I thought about wealth and success.
Right.
And I worked in that firm for about a year and a half, made a lot of money in my early 20s, And it was, I think it was November 4th, 2004.
Right.
The market turned on me one morning. One of my clients lost $250,000 like that.
Right.
And I didn't know what to do. I asked my boss, I said, what do I do? And he said, Chris, you need to call him and ask him for more money.
Right.
I can't do that. He said, well, then there's the door. And I walked out the door.
Very heavy pressure. Yeah, right.
So that wasn't for me.
So did you walk the door then? Did you?
If I could have, I would have. I actually left Miami altogether, moved back to Minnesota where I grew up. I said, I am going to start my own business. If I'm going to work this hard and be this stressed, I need to have my own business. And so I did. I just started looking online at different ways of making money and using some of my experience to figure things out. And, you know, it was in late 2006, 2007, I discovered how to make some money off of Google, and right. Everything kind of just snowballed from there.
How did you find out about internet marketing then? What was the point? I mean, because not many people knew about it at that time, and the people that did get in kind of, you know, did really well. So was there someone around you that kind of inspired you, or someone that was doing it already?
No, I mean, a lot of people that I knew were traditional business people, and so in fact, they steered me away from it because it was still it was a little bit frowned upon, like, hey, it's not real money. But then when you find someone that's 24 years old and you meet him online and he's making $100,000+ in a month, you're like, what is he doing that I'm not doing? You know, what one man can do, another man can do. And so that was my mindset going into it. I said, I can do what he does. So I saw specific people making amounts of money that I had never even thought were possible.
Right.
And so it just opened my mind to possibility. And then I realized how the internet is just, all it is a ladder of leverage is all it becomes, you know, to hit this global marketplace fast. And, you know, I did that and I succeeded very quickly. You know, a lot of that too was, the internet allowed me to bring my personality out.
Right.
You know, so I could get in front of a lot of people faster, quicker, more efficiently. And that's just what really brought in revenue at the time.
So can you tell me, Chris, I mean, when people go into the internet marketing, especially now, there's so much noise. I mean, there's so much going on, so many options. How did you deal with that then, Chris? I mean, did you kind of focus on one person's strategy and follow? Did you have like a model that you followed? Specifically?
Well, I wish I could say I was different than everybody else, but I wasn't. Because I saw the next shiny thing. I saw the next push button this. I saw the next great written, you know, the best sales letter written in front of me, and I bought from that. Yes. You know, I bought just about everything that everybody else has bought, right? And I've done, you know, jumped from this to that just because it looked good, and I didn't know. I was naive. What was the blueprint for success? Because I made money quickly, and then I experimented to try to create my own products, and it flopped, and then I'd create a couple other things, and it didn't do so well. I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to go back to what I know. But after a while, after you do that, you start to realize there's a few fundamentals that you got to realize that are just always there. And it doesn't really matter what the products are necessarily. Obviously, you want to sell good stuff, or you want to promote good things online. But really, it comes down to your profit margins. If your profit margins are too low, then you really struggle to break even. And if you're struggling to break even and then to profit, it's really a headache. So I always just either created my own product or found products that had really healthy profit margins. Because you look at like the nutraceutical industries, supplement industries, for example, you know, a lot of people don't realize when you go to a health food store and you buy that pill of weight loss pills, the cost of making that is about $3.
Yes.
Yet you pay $60 for that.
Right, right.
I wonder why those companies flourish is because their profit margins are so extremely healthy. So I said, okay, there's something to learn from that. And so I just transferred that into my online business, said I'm not going to sell stuff for 10% commission anymore. I'm not going to waste my time because I want to be able to spend a little bit of money on advertising and really excel and have profit margins where I don't have to make 1,000 sales to pay a mortgage. I want to make 10 or 5,
right.
You know, or what have you.
Right, so Chris, tell me, you know, coming from your background of owning a business of your own and having your own service and products, were you comfortable selling other people's products? Because I know this can be kind of a little bit of a cliche. Should I promote my own stuff or should I promote other people's stuff? Did you like have this kind of battle between in yourself working out what's the best way for you?
Well, for me, the battle wasn't whether or not I should do that. It was more of like, how do I satisfy my creativity?
Right.
I am someone who is very creative. I like to innovate. That's just in my blood. It's in my genetics. And so I want to create. I enjoy that. As easy as it is being a marketer, and I know this may sound kind of strange to people, is marketing to me is so easy and simple because it's straightforward, right? You put things in front of people and they buy it.
Yes.
Innovating product is a lot different. You know, you have to find the marketplace. You yes. have to appeal to that marketplace and yes. sell it from there. So for me, it was just like, how do I satisfy the creativity? But if I can give someone some advice, is when I first started, the two biggest mistakes I've noticed is, one, people quit their job way too early. They'll see a little bit of success, or they'll have these high hopes, and they'll go ahead and quit their job, and they'll get in a very tough situation where it's like desperate mode. You know, people get into a desperate situation where they have to pay the bills and their business maybe isn't there yet. You know, so my suggestion is keep doing what you're doing every day. Just add an internet business to what you're doing until you can replace the income first. And some people, when they get success, is they tend to change things up. Right when they start to see that success, and let's just say you start an online business and make $5,000 or $10,000, and you're like, all right, I am successful, I'm established, I'm going to switch things up and create my own product now, because they think that's how you go big. Well, the fact of the matter is that's not the case. You do not have to build your own products to be very wealthy or very successful online. There's lots of great products out there that will pay you almost as much, if not more, minus the risk of having your own product.
Right.
And that's coming from someone who owns his own product, and I know the risk and the headaches and the type of overhead that it takes.
Yes.
So my suggestion to someone is just find a good product with good margins and promote it, put money in the bank, and if you have that desire and skill or asset to give to people and create your own product, do that, but don't ever stop what's working, because I made that mistake, and I'm like, oh gosh, I have to go back now because, you know, it didn't work out or whatever, you know.
That's absolutely fantastic advice, Chris. Thank you so much. Guys, the questions are coming in. I will be taking some. Please let them, be very, very specific in what you ask on our topic. But, Chris, so can I just say, I mean, a lot of people tuning in today, I've invited because they're in a job and they're not happy and, they want something. They've been inquiring online. I know that the dynamics are very different. You know, being employed by an employer, you know, you're literally being paid for time that you give. But when you come into the internet marketing world as an affiliate marketer or a distributor, then the dynamics change in a way. It's performance based. So a lot of self-motivation, discipline is required. And also that kind of expectation of getting quick results. Can you advise those people? What would you say to people like that? What kind of mindset should they be coming in with?
I think someone that's coming in from maybe working in the traditional world, you know, working a job, because that's where I came from,
yes.
is, you know, to have realistic expectations. I mean, this is a business.
Yes.
There are going to be expenses. And a lot of times people look at the internet as, hey, I don't have to spend any money. I don't have to treat it normal, like a normal business, and get exceptional results. And so it's like saying, okay, I'm going to go own a restaurant, and I realize it's going to take me $100,000 to open this restaurant. I realize it's going to take employees and all of my time, you know, going into that. But going into an internet business, because you don't have that overhead and you don't have those type of skills that you have to acquire to own a traditional business, you still need to maintain that idea of, hey, it is a business. In fact, it can pay you way more than a traditional business.
Yes.
And quite honestly, faster as well. But you have to be realistic about it. It may not profit the first month. It may not profit the first 6 months, depending on what you do or how much time you can put into it. But as long as you stick the course, and I have a saying I always tell people, I say good days or bad days, the actions have to stay the same. So, you know, if you got a job and you've got kids, you've got to stay consistent with your actions.
Yes.
Then your results become consistent, and then you can just scale it. You know, so if you,
you
work a job full time.
You're right, Chris, because when you've got a track record building up of consistent action, then you can measure it. Then you can kind of tweak it and say, look, you know, this isn't going right or that. But if you're not taking action at all, what's there to measure?
Right. Yeah, so I'm as old school as I get. I mean, I have a legal pad with even steps that I need to do in the day. I'm not even digital or technology oriented. I just use pencil and paper still.
That's absolutely brilliant. I think it's actually better, just pen and pad. Simple.
Yeah.
Keep it simple. That's brilliant. Right, guys, and the marketing questions. This is a special segment I'm going to do with Chris in about 15 minutes or so. So specific questions when it comes to paid advertising and free advertising and how to actually work the iPass2 system. Just kind of bear with me. This particular show is just talking about Chris and his journey and inspiring you with the decisions he's made, etc. So just bear with me with that link. We'll be going live on the other page in about 15 minutes or so. But Chris, What about joint ventures? How important is it to be open to work with people? Doing better than you. You know, how important is it to kind of go to events and network? Because online marketing can be quite lonely. I mean, at home, you know, it's not just getting onto your computer and doing stuff. It's much more interactive than that to progress your career. Could you advise on that?
Yes, I can, because I have partnered myself. I've joint ventured with so many people, and I can tell you one of the big reasons I am where I am today, the reason why I'm successful today, is because of those relationships, 100%. So if there's like one big thing that is responsible for my success, it's being personable, it's meeting everyone with an open hand, never judging based on what they have done in the past necessarily, what their name is, where they come from. It's just always be kind to everyone, because you don't know when that person's going to be your asset. And I've always prided myself on that. And so I have some great relationships in this industry. And as small as the internet marketing industry is, it's very important. So, you know, it's really important to go to events, network with people, kind of step outside of the box. And, you know, even just hold your hand out and say, hey, I'd love to catch dinner with you. You know, fly out to meet someone. I mean, there's been times when I would fly out for 6 hours only just to go have a handshake and go home. You know, and it's those relationships that will set you into a whole different realm of success, because, you know, today I have great partners with iPass that we developed. And if it weren't for them, I wouldn't be able to do the things that I can do.
Yes.
So just remember, you're only one person, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's wonderful advice, sir. So, Chris, tell me, there's an issue, okay? There's a huge challenge in the industry. The facts are that, you know, around 92 to 97% people do fail in their first year. From your experience, Chris, can you just highlight why you think that is? And what kind of, you know, what are your ideas to put onto the table to kind of lower that as a, you know, your contribution to lower that number as yourself?
Well, I don't think, that's a great question, but I think that it's different. It has to be language different. I think that 90-some percent is not failure.
Right.
It's 90-some percent of people quit.
Right, right, right.
Okay? So they're not failing. I just think that people quit too early, or they get frustrated and they try to move something to something else thinking that something's going to change, or they just give up. So I think 90% of those people, or that percentage, that pool of people, are just people that maybe don't have the proper direction or aren't seeing a result or a win in a timely fashion that keeps them engaged. So they're just like, well, this doesn't work. I'm going to go back to what I know in my life. So it's really not a hard thing to fix. And so when somebody gets into the industry, you have to realize if you stick it out, you can beat that percentage. You can be a whole different statistic. You can be that 10% or that 5% success if you just hold on and stick it out. You know, I do an analogy with a deck of cards. You know, there's always four aces in the deck.
Yes.
You know, there's always 52 cards in the deck. So a lot of times, you know, you may go through half the deck before you find any aces. A lot of people quit when they get through a half a deck. But just remember, there's always four aces. So you have to go the distance to get there to see the result. And so I don't think it's that hard for people to succeed. I just think there's the tenacity of really holding out and saying, you know what, I can do this. And that comes back to being around people that are successful. If you're around those people and you share ideas, you'll feel confident that you can be there too, you know.
Excellent. Absolutely fabulous, Chris. Can I just kind of just dig a little bit deeper into that? So the window, okay, when a person decides that he wants to do internet marketing, there's a very short window where they can actually do it for free in a way that they're not getting anything in return for their efforts. and they've got bills coming up. I'm going to play the devil's advocate a little bit, right? And I'll say to you, I've got bills coming up, Chris. You know, I don't know how this thing is. I don't know how to figure it out. I haven't made my first dollar. What do I do? How do I stay motivated? How do I still stay in the game when I've got all these responsibilities of children and my family to look after? I get this all the time, Chris. I get a lot of people saying this, and I'm very empathetic towards it. But there is something that has to be very, very strictly said. What would you say to that?
Treat it like a business. Yeah. You get paid like a business. Excellent. If you treat it as like a side hobby, it will treat you like a hobby. Okay, meaning it may just take your time and not actually put money in your pocket. So I suggest anyone is just to start reading books about successful people that are entrepreneurs, or get on like your shows and constantly watch people, because you'll notice a pattern.
Yes.
And the pattern is, anybody that's successful, they treat it very, very seriously as a business.
Yes.
You know that it will pay you so much more. And so I think, you know, someone coming in here that has bills, because I've been down that road, is you just have to understand, yes, there's going to be things that come up, expenses or whatever. And we have a saying around our office here saying, you know, this is all happening to you. You're spending money, and maybe you're not making money yet, but it's about to happen for you. Meaning when that switch is over and all of a sudden those expenses become paid for, and then those become profit, then it's like, wow, okay, now I get it. So it's just understanding, maybe just putting on your notepad what your expenses are, how many sales you need to get that paid for, cover that cost. So then you have a very clear indication of where you need to go, and then from there you can just move up the ladder. Sometimes people get so overwhelmed because they think they're spending all this money, but realistically it could be one or two sales away from just completely having the whole business paid for, which is unheard of in the traditional business sense, right?
Absolutely.
It takes 3 to 5 years to even pay off your loans.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. Right. So, Chris, your success, I mean, hitting that first million, how did that feel like? I mean, was that, did you feel that you've grown into a person to achieve that? And maintain it alongside. Did you feel a difference from you, like a couple of years before? Was there a big change in what you did action wise?
No, you know, my good mentor Richard Call wrote the book, The First Million is the Easiest.
Right.
And I said, Richard, you're crazy. How could you say that? You know, this is hard. And now I look back and I'm like, you know what? Actually, the first million was the easiest, because when you first make, say, seven figures or whatever the dollar is, but let's just say seven figures, after that, your brain tends to think it's smarter than it is. Okay?
Right.
You tend to say, okay, I did this, now I need to take more risks. And sometimes we as entrepreneurs take too much risk and you end up losing money. And so when I made that first seven figures, I started to increase my risks. But I also didn't increase my growth, and so it was unbalanced.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first million is just, I'm going to tell people, it's consistent actions for a consistent period of time, and that will get you to seven figures. From there is to exponentially grow that or maintain that, is to stick to what you're good at, stick to what works, take calculated risks, okay, and, you know, I mean, kind of build yourself that way. But as a person, you know, I became more confident. Obviously, when you hit a certain degree of success, you become confident as an entrepreneur. But at that point, it really wasn't about the money. In fact, it never really was for me. It was just, I wanted to do something different. Okay? And I mean, as much as I would love to be just a marketer, it's not really how I'm built. I want to innovate ways to do something and set a new standard, because this industry is small. And like you said, there are a lot of things and a lot of distractions out there. And people.
Yes.
Claim certain things that may not be true. And so I feel like, hey, my place in this industry is to set a new standard where people say, hey, Chris did this with his product and company. We need to hold ourselves to that same standard and to make that shift. And it's not an easy thing to do. It's a very difficult thing. But I wake up every morning saying, you know what, I have that purpose. And it's so much more than money or a paycheck, because at the end it helps so many people, like those 90% of people that quit too early, we're fixing that now, and so
Excellent.
It's really exciting.
Excellent. Absolutely fantastic. Now, I've got a couple of questions coming in, Chris. I'm going to take a few. Felicia, thank you so much from UK joining the show today. She's asking you, Chris, sorry, she's saying that I've been in internet marketing for under a year. I have had no success. too many opportunities coming my way. What can I do? How can I be very specific? Do I need to do have a strong plan?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously you need a strong plan. You need to know where you're going. You need a game plan. Most importantly, you need to get on a piece of paper and say, okay, here's my life that I live today. Here are my expenses. If I want a new life, what does that entail? What does that dollar amount look like? And I tell this to everyone because you really do need to know. You cannot honestly say, hey, I want an extra $10,000 a month if you don't know what that's going to give you. Because if you don't know, that's just a number, right? It's easy to just to give up on a number. But if you know that number equals out of debt, if you know that new number equals a better house or you know, a college fund, so then you associate your successful number game plan with what that's going to get you emotionally, you'll always stick and say, you know what, I want to get out of debt or I want the new house and lifestyle. It's not about a number because a number is just stagnant. Okay, it's neutral. Whereas however that makes you feel will hold you through. So as far as, yeah, I mean, she hasn't seen success for a year. You have to look at what are the actions that you're doing. I can tell you from firsthand experience, when I started online, I spent a lot of time taking my stapler and making it very neat on my desk. I aligned everything on my desk so it looked perfect every day. I did everything other than the things that made me money.
Yes.
So if I can tell you, I'm going to probably call you out on this, you're probably doing that. You're probably doing the things that aren't making you money, which you think you're doing work, right? I'm in my office, everything's ready, I'm checking my emails, but those aren't money-producing activities. You have to look at what am I doing on a daily basis to produce income, you know? So what kind of environment are you in, first of all? So what are you promoting? What kind of product are you selling? And how are you getting people in front of that? It's really those two things. It comes down to what are you selling? You know, is it healthy? Does it have good profit margins for you to make money? And second of all, how many people see it? If you can say every day I've got 50 people that see my product, you're good, right? But if you got two, well, there's the problem,
Yes, absolutely. I'm laughing, Chris, because I was like this as well. I was like, I need to have that specific notepad before I do any work today. But yeah, that's the kind of the problem of procrastination that we kind of get into, which is another challenge that we have to face. But excellent, that's fabulous. Okay, I've got a question coming from Roger. Thank you so much, Roger, for tuning in today. He's asking, this is really interesting, actually. What is your vision behind iPath 2? Can we talk a bit more about iPath 2, which is absolutely fine. Roger, we will be doing that but in a few minutes. But yeah, what is your vision behind iPath 2?
Well, it kind of goes back 8 years ago when I first started online. There was never an instruction manual other than I did buy a website for dummies, mind you, that year. I could only read 3 chapters of it. It was so far over my head. I threw it in the trash. I was like, I cannot do this.
Yes.
You know, but there wasn't a manual that said, hey, Chris, this is how you build a business. I had to go out and buy this tool and that tool and this and that and then figure out how to bring it together to actually make a business work. So to me, I was like, back 8 years ago, I'm like, why isn't there a McDonald's online? And why isn't there a franchise-style platform for people to come in, the product's chosen for them, so they don't have to worry about choosing the wrong product per se. There's a systems in place that allow you to track and do things that the big name marketers know how to do. There's tools that are all in one place, so you don't have to pay all these other expenses to get simple things that are essential. And so my idea with iPass was like, man, why doesn't somebody create essentially like a franchise that people can plug into? Have a product, have the support and community there, but also have all the tools in one place, but then build an ecosystem, okay? And this is something that's never been done. Right. Look at companies like Apple, okay? They have great consumer products. They didn't create the cell phone, but they have a cell phone that the user experience is so much better that it redefined the mobile industry. They have an ecosystem where if you buy an iPhone, you're probably going to buy a Mac, you're going to buy an iPad. It's that ecosystem that keeps those people together. And with iPass, I wanted to create an ecosystem where if you're in business and you're in your what we call iPass office, you want to stay there. You want to always learn in there. You want to interact with people there, not Facebook, okay, not Twitter, but everything in one place because all your tools are there. The people are there, their support is there, the training is there, and that's where you see the money coming in, so you want to stay there. And so it's that ecosystem that fixes that number you were talking about, because if 95% of the people don't succeed or quit too early, we need to get those small wins faster. That's our job. Absolutely. If I can get someone a win within a week, yes. and you can get a sale and see a commission, I don't mean thousands of dollars here, but I'm saying if you can make $10 your first week and you've never made money in anything ever outside of your job, how do you think that will make you feel? Right?
Absolutely fabulous. Think of
a stay-at-home mom where that small win can transform somebody's motivation and hold them out till they get the big win.
Yes, it will change the dynamics of how you actually see the business as well, you know, because if you're getting something, even if it is a small win, it's very emotionally charging, you know, your belief in internet marketing kind of increases. Chris, I want to highlight a point, really, really important one, okay, because, you know, I get a lot of kind of emails and stuff saying that, you know, internet marketing is a scam and, you know, there's so much mess. I mean, I can understand there has been a lot of kind of garbage put out there because there's no regulation. You know, anyone can kind of hop online and promote something and say that it's going to make millions and, you know, and it's not. And I've noticed one thing that whenever someone promotes, in my experience and of talking to a lot of people, that whenever they join something, it's not just the program that they need, that investment in that program. There's a whole lot of other stuff that they have to purchase to make internet marketing work for them in a more, you know, calculated way, you know, tools and systems that they have to use and, you know, like email responders and all these other costs that come in. And then people think, you know, maybe like it's all about, it's all misguiding, you know. But I understand that iPass too, you've really, really kind of spoken well in the system that you've actually, you know, you've actually given it up front all the stuff that you need to make it work, right?
Right. So all the essentials that a person needs to be a successful internet entrepreneur, and again, you're in the business of selling products, that's what you do online, is all those pieces are now in one place. So, you know, as simple as things are, for example, when I do a lot of things in the nutraceutical industries and sell those products as well. And one thing you need to know is you need to know what's working and what's not. The average person may come in and say, okay, I know how to place a couple ads, but if you don't know if it's working for you, you're going to spend money on the wrong things and you're going to go bankrupt, okay? So the one thing with iPass is we have a really cool way to illustrate if you're spending, say, $100 on an advertisement, you're going to know if that is actually producing a result or not, and so you can just keep doing more of that. So it's very transparent. For the first time, we actually see, and the person building their business can see what's working and what's not, so they can get rid of what's not working. And that's so big because a lot of kind of scammy things out there are traffic. Let's be honest, right? There's a lot of bad traffic sources and people that take advantage of people and just send them horrible, bad traffic. Well, we can actually pinpoint that. We had people come into iPass, bought horrible traffic, and iPass pinpointed it. And we were like, get a refund. They're ripping you off. iPass is very, it's kind of like a gateway. It's like a guard at your front gate saying, hey, you are protected from getting ripped off because you're going to see what's working and not. And so all those tools are really in one place to protect you, to be able to grow a business, to profit, not just make money and be in the red all the time. One thing that we wanted to do was eliminate the costs associated with some of the overhead up front with an internet business. And that's what iPass does a little bit different is, rather than buy a tool from this company and that company and the other company, we built everything from scratch. And so it is kind of like a McDonald's in the sense that you have the fryers, you have the systems in place, the automation, the tools that are going to help you sell so you don't have to be the one selling. We even integrate coaches and so forth into that to be able to leverage your time to where people have those challenges in the business. So, you know, we've definitely done that to try to enhance the user experience as well. I think Princess will be right back here, guys. I just got a Facebook message. She'll be here in a second. So I'm going to be the host for a second, and we'll keep going. But she'll be back here in just a minute. But, you know, let's just take a second and think about this. When the average person, you guys, if you've noticed, if you start a business, right, there's some fundamentals that you need. You have to have a way to capture people's information so they get exposure to your business. From there, what do you do with that information that gets them to buy? You know, the one reason why I've broke through 6 and 7 figures online is because I always build this list and I always build a database of people that are interested in what I have at all times. So it's really important that you do that And one thing with iPass is we make that as seamless as possible, so you don't have to really think about it. It just happens. So when somebody becomes interested, we kind of nurture them into becoming a customer. And so over, you know, whether it be a month or it be a week or 6 months, you constantly have customers going into your new business and buying your products in a way that you don't have to physically maintain that. And so that was a big piece of iPass that we wanted to create. She's coming on, her computer froze up. It's funny how that works, isn't it? So, you know, I mean, it really comes down to simplicity, right? It's that ecosystem that you need in a business. It's not just about, and I know all of you watching this, maybe you're like, you know, Chris, there's so many products and there's this new program out there that everybody's going to that's making all this money. But you have to ask yourself, what are the actions that you're doing in your current business? And the reason, I'm sorry, I don't know your name, the one that was saying that, you know, I haven't made any money for a year. What is it that you're doing today in that current business that's not making you money? If you can change it and make money there, I'm going to tell you something. You can make money in any product, any company, anything you do. It is like a universal key, okay? You hold the universal key to your business. It doesn't matter the product. It doesn't matter the skills that you have necessarily. You just need to know what the fundamentals are. Once you stick to that, you guys are going to see success in everything you do. I mean, the people that I know in this industry, it doesn't matter what they're selling or doing, they always see the success. So just know that, don't fall victim to saying, hey, there's the next shiny popular object or company out there, because anybody that's anybody will tell you it doesn't matter what that is. Popularity is not what makes money.
Hi, it's Princesses from I Have a Dream Show. Guys, I am so, so sorry. We had a couple of different technical difficulties. I think my computer just went off. Chris, can I just ask you, as you are on the I Have a Dream Show, can I ask what your dream is? I know you've achieved many of them, but, you know, one mountain you climb, there's another one to climb. So what is your dream?
My honest dream is to leave this earth and people say, you know what, Chris was an integral person. He was somebody I could trust, and he did something in a way that nobody ever did or thought was possible. I just want to leave a mark. That's what I want to do. I want to be a good father, a good spouse. Obviously, that is high in my priorities. Mm-hmm. But I never want to do people wrong. I will always steer them in the right way for the right reasons. But more so, you know, my long-term dream is to leave a mark and to say, you know what, I was known for that, or I was known for doing great business, reaching new heights in places where people could not reach, you know. And so by using my success in a way that can leverage and help people, that's really my dream. You know, it's not how many cars I could buy or what my lifestyle is, because I'm happy with how I live now. I'm pretty frugal. But more so is just, what can I think to innovate new things to make people's lives better?
Right.
You know, and that's just always been the case.
And is there pressure on you in any way, being in the position that you are? I mean, to produce all the time? I mean, you're human. You know, you're only human. You've got feelings as well. You need your time out. But as you get more successful, are there more responsibilities that you have to kind of be prepared to handle and grow as a person into that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I guess the answer to that question is there's a lot more responsibilities. But as a person, as a leader, as someone who a lot of people look up to, you have to make very smart decisions. Uh-huh. I'm an emotional person. You know, I see a little bit of Steve Jobs in myself, that I get very emotional over my products, over the creativity process. I'm a very creative person. And so, you know, I take it to heart when somebody says, hey, I don't like this, or it doesn't work how I want it to. I take that to heart, and I go to my team, and I'm not always the nicest guy in the room, I will tell you. I'm very blunt. I'm like, fix it. It needs to be this way now. Yeah. So I'm just very passionate about, not necessarily perfection, because you'll die before you ever hit that. You know, it's very hard.
Yes.
But it's just a standard that I hold myself to. And yeah, there's pressure, because I just want to do people right. So if things aren't to where I want them to be, or someone's not happy, I take that to heart and say, okay, I need to fix this. I need to make it better. And I've actually worked on, if you want to know about personal development for me as a leader, is being more accountable and being more level-headed about how I handle situations, because everybody's watching you. And even though there's politics in business, just like corporate America, yeah, you have to be that leader. You have to always inspire and motivate people even during the hardest of situations, and set that as a role model to others. And knowing that, just knowing the camera's always on, and knowing how you react, people will pick that up and they'll react the same way if the situation were to come up for them. So, you know, I always try to set the right example and model myself of how, you know, I would want myself to be and how people see themselves becoming. It's a huge responsibility, absolutely.
And what about trust-wise? How important is gaining people's trust in your eyes?
That's all you got. It's all you got. If you don't have trust by your market, or you don't have trust by the people that look towards you, you've got nothing. So if you lose that trust and that credibility, you're going to be ice skating uphill for a long time. Now, can you make it up by doing the right things? Yes. I've been down that road where certain business ventures didn't go the way that I wanted to, but I took an initiative to make sure that they panned out for people. Mm-hmm. So you have to remain accountable to people, not product, mm-hmm. not companies, but to the people that you are involved with. Right. And that trust is, it's everything.
It's everything. Absolutely, Brent. Last question, I promise you. Right, last question. But I mean, I'm learning so much from you. This is brilliant. I just could talk to you forever. But Chris, when it comes to, money is something that it's rewarded you over time, right? Now, mm-hmm. if you were to lose everything, say for instance, you know, you never know what's around the corner, your financial wealth has gone to like zero, will you be able to pick it up again?
Yes.
And why is that?
And there are days when I say I miss, how can I say this? There are days when I miss the struggle, because that's when sometimes your best work comes out. Yeah. You know, and, you know, a prime example would be musicians go through this. I watched a documentary on John Mayer a little while back, and he was saying some of his greatest music came out when he was young and he was struggling, because as hard as that is, your creative mind and how you handle things, if you're, you know, good character or bad, it just, you know, it just depends, but you will see greatness come out in someone when it gets tough, when it is tough. And that journey is something that you look back on after you make it. Like, I look back on that, I'm like, I kind of miss that feeling a little bit of knowing I've got to make it happen, I've got to do what it takes, uh-huh. and it's that fire and that drive that it's just, there's nothing that can replace that. Now, I've had success, so I do other things now to replace that, you know, maybe desire or that urgency to hold that standard. That's why I have those morals and those ideas. But, you know, if I were to lose everything, I actually would become, I'd become a monster, I think. I would become a machine, because that fire would just, I know me personally, would just create all this new ways of doing things, and I would have such an urgency and such a, you know, you look at football players who get injured, right? They get injured and they say, hey, you're never going to be able to play football again. But they end up being the star athlete because they push through it. There's that fire, something inside their soul that makes them perform at 10 levels higher than they would have if they didn't get injured. So I think people need to remember that. If you're struggling right now and you're really having a hard time, remember, this is when your best work comes out. And this is what is going to determine whether you're a champion or not. And those of you that are not, you're going to fall out and you're going to go back to the comfortable life. But those of you that want to be a champion, you're going to push forward and you're going to recognize, like, man, this is the journey. I'm on a hell of a ride here. Yeah. And you just need to embrace that, because it's actually the most fun and most rewarding.
Hey, it's Princess Fizz again. I hope you found this show extremely, extremely valuable. Do like and comment and leave a review for this show. And don't forget to subscribe and share with your friends, whoever it will benefit. Go to ihaveadreamshow.com/shows if you want to watch the video recording of this show. And leave a comment, write to me. I'd love to hear from my listeners about any suggestions, any takeaways that you had, any suggestions for improvements, and make sure that you sign up to the newsletter as well, so you don't miss another episode and you get notified by email. I love you loads. Dream big, chase those dreams, make them a reality, so I can bring you onto the I Have a Dream show and share your unique journey with the world.